Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you're listening to Total EM. We are back with another point of care ultrasound or POCUS topic, this time about acute aortic syndromes or AAS. And you may be asking yourself, what is an acute aortic syndrome? Basically, we're talking about aneurysms that have ruptured or aortic dissections. And anyone who's been practicing in emergency medicine for any length of time knows that aortic syndromes can be difficult to diagnose, because these are often nonspecific presentations, and the imaging is not something that we're going to do by default. It's uncommon for a chest x-ray to be able to tell us enough, and CTA, computed tomography angiography, is not something that we're doing all the time because of the large doses of radiation and intravenous contrast. However, other types of imaging that would be potentially safer or also very well diagnostic are transesophageal echocardiography and magnetic resonance angiography, or MRA. These exams, though, the TEE, the MRA, are less common because they have some diagnostic challenges. Basically, time is a major issue, as well as cost. So what does this mean for us? Well, if we have every single chest pain patient or anyone we have any remote concern for acute aortic syndromes, yeah, we could get CTAs on all of them, but that's exposing them to a lot of harm with maybe as not much benefit. However, there has been the suggestion that transthoracic echocardiography, or TTE, could be of potential benefit. And you may have heard about the focused cardiac ultrasound, or FOCUS. And this is essentially a way of helping us diagnose acute aortic syndromes. The challenging part has been the evidence, because the evidence has been slowly evolving and maybe a little more supportive. And we're going to talk a little more about that here in a moment. But what exactly is the FOCUS looking for? In regards to thoracic acute aortic syndromes, indirect signs would include thoracic aortic dilation of 4 centimeters or greater, aortic regurgitation as noted on color Doppler, and pericardial fusion with or without a tamponade. The direct signs of a thoracic aortic dissection would be an intimal flap, as well as an intramural aortic hematoma greater than 5 millimeters, or penetrating aortic ulcer, which would be like a crater-like outpouching with jagged edges in the aortic wall. I will tell you these latter two, I have not seen, at least to my knowledge, and I think it would be very hard to identify. We'll talk about that more here towards the end. But the intimal flap, this is something that we can pick up pretty easily. So for me, the big ones that I'm looking for are the intimal flap, the aortic dilation, the pericardial effusion, and the aortic regurgitation. Again, some of these are going to be less specific than others, but the intimal flap is the big one. If you can see it, that is very diagnostic, and we're going to talk about how diagnostic it is with a couple of papers that we're about to discuss. In regards to abdominal aortic dissections, the indirect signs are an abdominal aortic aneurysm, as well as potentially the thoracic indirect signs that we've talked about. The direct sign would be the intimal flap, but we can also see the intraluminal aortic hematoma and the penetrating aortic ulcer, like we're talking about for thoracic syndromes. If this does not seem to make complete sense, or maybe you're not as used to understanding the images and exam, that's totally fine. You can go to the show notes and go to this podcast number 186, and you can check out some great resources. We've got pictures on there, as well as we have links to some videos which are very helpful, primarily from 5 Minute Sono, where they have a description of how to look at aortic dissections and how to find them, as well as some examples. If you want some more examples too, the POCUS Atlas is a great resource where they have normals and abnormals present. So now that we know what this exam is for, the FOCUS exam, and how to apply it for acute aortic syndromes, let's talk a little bit about some evidence. In June 2019, the European Heart Journal published a study on FOCUS cardiac ultrasound to diagnose acute aortic syndromes. This is available for free through ResearchGate. I have it included in the show notes so you can be able to find it and look at it yourself. I would highly encourage doing so because it'll make a little more sense about what we're talking about. There are also some great diagrams, which I've included in the show notes, and some other resources from other groups, such as Rebel EM and the Ultrasound Gel podcast. In this study, they used basically a stepwise approach to help them decide how likely someone needed imaging, if at all. And what they used was the aortic dissection detection risk score, or ADDRS. And this can be a little hard to remember. So MDCalc has published a calculation on their website showing how to do this as a reference. Essentially, though, what we're looking for are predisposing conditions, pain features, or physical exam findings. Predisposing conditions would include Marfan syndrome, a family history of aortic disease, a known aortic valve disease, recent aortic manipulation, or known thoracic aortic aneurysm. Pain features would include abrupt onset of pain, severe pain intensity, ripping or tearing pain as the final one. The physical exam findings include pulse deficit or systolic blood pressure differential, focal neurological deficit plus pain, new aortic insufficiency murmur plus pain, or hypotension shock state. Usually, the cutoff is more than one. So basically, you need more than one of the following: predisposing conditions, pain features, and physical exam findings. With this new paper, you may ask yourself, why should we use the evidence? And let's talk about how they did this. The data was actually lifted from another study, the aortic dissection detection risk score plus D-dimer and suspected acute aortic dissection, or the ADVISE trial. The study used the ADDRS with a D-dimer for risk stratification, and they found that a combination of the ADDRS of one or less with a negative D-dimer, which was defined as less than 500 nanograms per milliliter, as having a sensitivity of 98.8% and a negative likelihood ratio of 0.02, which by itself is not bad. However, this paper, the new paper that was published in 2019, was a pre-specified secondary sub-analysis of that original study to see if focus plays an additional role. Patients in the study were 18 years or older with acute aortic syndromes as a differential, so at least it was felt that it needed to be ruled out, where focus was performed prior to advanced imaging or surgery, and the patient had at least two of the following: so chest abdominal back pain, syncope, signs or symptoms of perfusion deficits, including like the nervous system, myocardium, abdominal organs, or limbs. And they were only excluded if there was trauma as the primary source or the patient did not consent. The original publication included 1,850 patients, of which 864 patients were eligible for the study and 839 were enrolled in the study. 17.4% of patients had acute aortic syndromes, with only 5.2% having direct signs present. So that would be like the intimal flap mainly. How accurate is ADDRS and focus in combination? Well, there's a chart that I've included to kind of break this down a little bit more, but essentially the overall sensitivity is 93.8% with a negative likelihood ratio of 0.09 and a failure rate of 1.9%. However, it's worth noting that when you have a positive direct focus finding, the positive likelihood ratio is 23.8 with a specificity of 98.2%. So this is very, very high and very beneficial. When you add a D-dimer, though, it becomes even more sensitive. A low probability patient by their ADDRS with no direct focus signs and a negative D-dimer was 100% sensitive with confidence intervals of 97.3 to 100% and a specificity of 58.7% with a confidence interval of 55 to 62.4%. There was a negative likelihood ratio of 0, again, the confidence interval being 0 to 0.1. If the focus was completely negative, this was still 100% sensitive, but it brought the specificity down to 48.4%. So essentially, you're looking more for just kind of any direct signs on focus. But if you wanted to have a completely normal focus, you're still going to be able to catch all 100% of patients in this study, but the specificity goes down quite a bit. So what about the positive cases? Well, focus alone with direct signs had a positive likelihood ratio of 17.4 and a negative likelihood ratio of 0.56. So very good in of itself. But when you added the ADDRS, that likelihood ratio went up to 23.8 like we were talking about earlier. So this helps demonstrate the accuracy of focus with direct signs. However, any signs of focus was not helpful. essentially when the workup of the algorithm is negative. So negative D-dimer, negative focus, at least for any direct signs, but particularly if you could just say nothing, and they're low risk based on their ADDRS, then this patient can be safely discharged based on this study. However, when direct signs are found on focus, we should be very concerned for these patients, as this has a very high likelihood of being an acute aortic syndrome. We must remember that this was a secondary endpoint to a prior study, so it should be considered more hypothesis generating and would need some additional evidence to be truly validated. It only involved about half of the original patient population. This is most likely because of the lack of focus on the other patients that were in that other study. Not everyone received further imaging, and cases could have been missed on the 14-day follow-up, although unlikely. There are some challenging aspects to the exam, such as while the intimal flap itself can be easy to identify, like I said, I've never at least been able to identify intraluminal aortic hematoma or a penetrating aortic ulcer. I'm not even sure what exactly a penetrating aortic ulcer would look like if I was just scanning without any sort of direction of previous examples. And the intraluminal aortic hematoma, okay, I can see that, I can kind of pick that up, but the intimal flap is really going to be the most helpful out of all of these. If you want to learn more about the original paper that we're talking about, check out the SGEM or First 10 EM. They've got great resources there. And if you want to have a little more in-depth discussion about incorporating focus, like I said, Rebel EM and Ultrasound Gel podcast includes these. But what I take away from this is while this is not perfect, while we still probably need some further validation, I would feel comfortable with the patient with a negative D-dimer and essentially an unremarkable focus exam. Indirect signs, I'd be potentially a little more concerned. This is probably someone who's going to need a little more of a workup anyway, but with a low ADDRS, this is again reassuring. So how should we approach this patient? How should we move forward? Well, the first thing to do, if you suspected an acute aortic syndrome, is to calculate the ADDRS. Then you should also do the focus exam. If the ADDRS is less than or equal to 1 and the focus is negative, then do a D-dimer test. And if the D-dimer test is negative, you completely rule this out with very good confidence, at least based on this study. If the ADDRS is less than or equal to 1 and the focus showed indirect signs but no direct signs of a dissection, if the patient is stable and another diagnosis is more likely, go ahead and do the D-dimer. And if it's negative, then you've ruled it out. But if the patient is not truly stable or another diagnosis is probably not as likely, then you should proceed to CTA. If the ADDRS is greater than 1 or on focus there are direct signs present, then you should urgently get that CTA or other advanced imaging, and you should probably get someone on the phone, especially with the direct signs on focus, as this has, again, a very high likelihood, and in some cases, they may be willing to take them to the operating room without having further imaging. You may be asking yourself, well, maybe I don't have as much exposure or experience in cardiac ultrasound, or maybe ultrasound in general. I'd like to give a quick plug to Practical Pocus, our sponsor for this, because Practical Pocus loves to teach, and they do lots of different teaching across the country. They teach at conferences, they teach individual locations, and they also host their own events. They also are doing online courses, which you can check out at their website as well. Go to practicalpocus.com to see about any of these different classes. They offer a variety of content, and their next in-person course is going to be at St. Louis, Missouri, June 7th through 9th, 2020. Make sure to check this course out. It has a great emphasis on both adult and pediatric patients, so you'll be able to get practice on both. And you can register for the course and also get a butterfly IQ with it if you choose that option on your checkout. But I'm always curious with my listeners, since you guys know I love POCUS, about your experiences with acute aortic syndromes. Have you used ultrasound for this role personally? Now, I have used the suprasternal notch view, which I'll have to talk about more at some point, and have found 5 or 6 cases over the years of thoracic aortic dissections, and seeing that intimal flap was super helpful for me to pick that up. That's one thing I like to share in Practical POCUS courses or just in general. And like I said, at some point, I'm going to have to include the content of that on the website. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.